here on a Friday morning instead of on a Sunday morning? Who feels like telling us? To celebrate the birth of Jesus. That's right. God coming to save us. Oh, the best news anyone can ever hear. It's amazing, eh? This world is so full of people trying to be happy, trying to find the meaning in life. And on this day, God came to reveal himself and to save us all. And so I'd love us to, maybe we can all just come stand and just start by praying a little bit, because we're an intimate little group. So maybe we can all stand, and we're not going to use the mic, but I'm going to ask you guys to just lift your voices, and we can just pray. You know, whoever feels like it, and the worship team can come up, and then we're going to come and worship. But if you can come a little bit forward, but pray loud so that we can all hear you. And let's maybe just say thank you to God. Let's say thank you to the Lord Jesus that he loved us enough to come and save us from our sins. Okay, let's pray.
Thank you. Just
Jesus, yours is the name above every name. And how we love you. How we love you, Jesus. How we love you, Lord. There's no one beautiful like you, Lord. There's no one glorious and precious like you, Lord. There's no one like you, Jesus. And Lord, we honor you. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we love you. Thank you that forever and ever we're going to be able to just be like this in your presence. Forever and ever we're going to just be able to lift our voices to you in adoration and in love and in praise to you, the beautiful one. The beautiful. Thank you for your presence here, Lord. And as Declan comes and preaches now, Lord God, would you come and come by your Spirit, Lord God, and speak into our hearts, God. We honor you, Lord. We love you. Your precious name, Lord Jesus.
Good morning, guys. I don't know, but I heard some angels in this room just now, that worship team. Jeez. I think it's about the second time in this church that I've heard some angels singing. It felt like, oh, the Holy Spirit is opening up ears to ears, the angels of heaven singing. Oh, it was amazing. Oh. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And when I thought that word yesterday, I thought, jeez, but today's Christmas, there will be some eating and drinking. But there must be more peace and joy and righteousness. Righteousness, peace, and joy, let's get that right, in the Holy Spirit. And I'm really trusting that the Holy Spirit is going to open our hearts and fill us today and show us some stuff and teach us to be grateful for His Son. And that Christmas won't just be... You know, it is a time of gifts and eating and celebrating, but we will understand more deeply the birth of Jesus Christ and what it means to us. But it's a privilege for us to gather here this morning and to celebrate that. And then I wanted to share on the birth of Jesus Christ a few days ago. For several hours, I had my notebook in front of me and I just couldn't get anything about Jesus being born in Bethlehem or what the prophets were saying, and it was so frustrating. And I was like, come on, Lord, I need something for the people so that we can celebrate together and we can appreciate what you did, but I'm just not getting anything. And after about 6 hours of being on my couch, I was just very frustrated. And I thought, okay, that's enough. I put the book down, my notebook. And I went upstairs, went to go have a shower, and I went into my room to throw a little tantrum, put the light off, and it was dark. But then I began to pray. And as I was praying, the Lord showed me that just how I was throwing a tantrum and my arrogance towards Him and the sin, all the sin. In my life and what my sin leads to. And the wages, the penalty of that sin. But at the same time, I was really feeling his love, that he was showing me this so that I could have a good foundation. This morning, I felt the Lord say that you can't appreciate the birth of my son and his life and what he did on the cross until you can see your sin and what it leads to, and that it leads to death. And when you understand that a bit more clearly, then you will appreciate that my son was born to deal with your sin and to deal with your punishment. It says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. Now, this is a two-part verse. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life. It's like living forever. I was thinking, geez, I don't have the math to work that out. At school, I was so bad at math. I failed so many times, I can't even count. But the free gift of God is eternal life. But I'd like us to look at the first part. That the wages of our sin, the penalty for our sin, what we get paid for our sin is death, is to be separated from God forever. And I think if you look at that, I want us to look at that a little bit, then we can really appreciate the second part more, that the gift. Is that lady okay? Okay. And helping that lady. Okay, she's fine. But as we look at the first part, the wages of sin is death, and just focus on that a little bit, we can appreciate the gift that we have in Christ Jesus, the gift of Jesus and the gift that he has given us in his son, eternal life. So when he says the wages of sin is death, that is God's law. He's the boss, and he says what goes. We don't decide, but he decides what penalty we get for sin. And this is what he wrote through Moses. And from the beginning, that the wages would be death, and that we would be separated from God for all eternity. In the garden with Adam and Eve, he said to Adam and Eve, this tree you must eat of. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat on that. In other words, if you are disobedient, you will surely die. And so what they did was, if you tell any child, don't do this, they wanted to experience that, and they did surely die, and they were separated from God. For all eternity. But there was a repentance that took place as the Lord killed an animal. It says in the Bible that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So the Lord killed an animal, gave him a skin, and covered their sin, and helped them. I want to just share two stories with you. So when I was struggling with drugs years back in the church, I was the Lord saved me, and he brought me into his church, but I kept on going back to drugs over and over again. And I went to one of the elders in the church one day, and I said to him, I've messed up with the drugs once again, one more time. And this was at Flamingo Flay. He said to me, Declan, go take a walk in the flay, and I want you to really ask God to show you something about what you are doing. And I went, there's a little bench in the flay there, Flamingo Flay, and it's looking down, looks over Table Mountain, and I'm sitting there, and I'm really trying to find something from the Lord that he will show me. And normally I would look around for a piece of paper or an advertisement or something, and the Lord would speak through that, but there was nothing there, it's just grass. And then I looked around on this bench, and there was a little plaque, a brass plaque. And it says something. This guy, James Woods, he used to walk his golden retrievers there. But in big, bold letters, it said what the heart once knew. What the heart once knew, it will never forget. And I felt the Lord say to me that I'm keep on sinning. His grace is there for me. His forgiveness is there for me. But I keep on sinning, and I can end up in hell. I'll be in hell for all eternity. And I will know in my heart what I knew. That I could have come to him. That the blood of Jesus is good enough to cover me and to forgive me. But I kept on going back to my sin. And the Lord showed me very clearly, for all eternity, I will sit in hell. And I will know that I had an opportunity to come to him. a while after that, I was staying alone in a house in Tableview. I was looking after this house, also in the church, also still struggling with drugs. And one night I did so much drugs. It was a Wednesday night when I should have been at community. And I did so much drugs. Thank you. That when the drugs were finished, I felt my heart beating very, very fast. And I thought that I was going to die. And I felt that I was going to die. Many of my friends, well, not many, a few of my friends have died from drugs. I used to smoke crack cocaine. And while I'm lying in the bed, I'm looking at the door. I'm looking at the bedroom door, and I sense that death is coming to get me. And that I'm going to die now. But too many times Jesus has put his hand out for me, and I haven't taken it. And he's given me instruction. Declan, this is what you to do. What you are to do. Call your leaders and come to me. And I felt that death coming to the door. And as it drew nearer, I was like, you're so afraid of my life. I knew this is over now. And I'm just, Jesus, please. And that death stayed right there at the door. It couldn't come in. And the next day, I went to my community leader, and I shared with him what had happened. And he said to me, Declan, last night at community, nobody knew what you were doing. But the ladies in the community, they were praying for your life, Declan. They were praying that you would be safe and that nothing would happen to you. And the death was right there. But because these ladies had prayed, I was delivered from that. The wages of my sin is death. I was supposed to die. I deserve to die for keeping on turning away from the Lord. But he helped me. So I really want to, you know, as we go home today, that we'll really appreciate what Jesus has done for us, what he has rescued us from. Amen? Sometimes we think we're okay. We're doing all right. And I want to speak for us and for people that are in the world. Sometimes they think they're okay. Until they get closer to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit comes and begins to convict them of their sin. And for us too, sometimes, even as Christians, we think we're okay. Until we read our Bible a little bit, or until we come to church, until the Holy Spirit comes and highlights things in our life. And there was a man in the Old Testament, a prophet, Isaiah, a mighty man of God. And the Lord's Holy Spirit was on him. And he used Isaiah to speak to the nation of Israel. He was a holy man. Out of all the people, God chose him to be the prophet and to speak. And in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 7, the Holy Spirit comes upon Isaiah. And it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. This is Isaiah speaking. High and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And he called to one another, and one called to another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, and this is Isaiah saying, and I said, Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He said, Woe is me, for I am lost. As he came into the presence of the Lord Jesus highlighted in him all his sin and all his wrongdoing. And when he said that, he realized, man, I deserve to die. I'm actually going to die now. I'm lost. I'm gone for all eternity. And then it goes on, the next verse, please. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. And this is a picture of God's grace and his mercy. Even though Isaiah was full of sin, he saw how sinful he was, how unclean his mouth was, and how unclean the people were. The Lord made a way for him. Amen. And the Lord gave him a way out. He atoned for his sins. He came and he did it. And he made him unguilty. And Isaiah, in a few chapters later, in chapter 9, verse 6, Isaiah's also got a vision But he's looking also with the prophet. If you read through Isaiah, you'll see that the Lord is showing Isaiah a lot of things about Jesus Christ that's still going to take place in 700 years' time. So he's showing him in visions and in dreams all these things that are going to happen. And Isaiah is looking into the future of Israel, and he's seeing how sin is on the people and how the people are doomed, and there is destruction for them. There's nothing good for them. There's sin. After thousands of years of the Lord trying to love his people and him always turning back to sin, he sees that destruction is upon them and that they are doomed. But also, like he was given a way out, he also sees, the Lord shows him a way out for his people. And he says, and he sees there, and he says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. That's the Holy Spirit. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And so Isaiah rejoices at that, because he sees, although his people are doomed, God has sent his son. God has sent his son who would take Israel's punishment of death so that they could have life. He would take the punishment that they deserved, which is eternal separation from God. And Isaiah sees that the little baby Jesus is born. And when he sees that, he sees this is the one that's going to save Israel from death. And they will have the opportunity to come into relationship with God through his son Jesus Christ, to all who would repent and turn to him and believe in his name. Amen. The reading in the Old Testament a while back was reading about how God's people were punished by God, how he would send a pestilence, a grave evil upon them for their disobedience and for their sin. And he would send famine on his own people, and he will send them into exile. And there's some horrific stories about babies being boiled and killed. And as I was reading this, I remember feeling so gutted. And I felt so hurt inside. And I said, Lord, why do you allow this to happen to your people? Why did you allow this to happen to your people? And I said, Lord, I don't want to be rude and be arrogant as I ask you, but your people, these are your children. And you're allowing them to suffer so much that they're killing their babies and they are starving and they want to eat one another. And then I carried on reading, and it says here that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt. They were in slavery for 400 years. And he delivered them. He says, I delivered my people out of Egypt. And I brought them into the desert. I fed them. I gave them manna from heaven. I gave them water from the rock. And they worshipped other gods. They made a golden calf. And they turned from me. And I was jealous for them. And I wanted them to love me. But they kept on turning to other gods. And I took them through the wilderness, and I gave them the promised land. I gave them land to inherit. I was good to them and kind to them, and they turned to other gods, to false gods. And I said to them, don't turn to the gods of the people in the other nations, because you will turn from me, your heart will move from me. But they kept on doing this. And then they sacrificed their babies. And then they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord sent them judges to help them, prophets and judges. And then as they cried out to God, because they were in such distress because of their sin, the Lord came and he helped them. And then they turned back to idols, and they were disobedient again. And then he sent more judges, I think 11 or 12 judges, and they kept coming and they kept helping. But every time they got help, they would turn back to their sin after a while. And then in the stories of all the kings worshipped false idols and got the people to worship false idols. And they did despicable things before the Lord, and the Lord wanted them as his family, as his children, but they kept turning to other gods, to false gods. And as I was reading it, I realized that's, the Lord was showing me that that's me as well. That he delivered me out of Egypt. I was on drugs for many years. And he delivered me from the age of 10 to 42. I did drugs. It was like it was my Egypt I was in, and the Lord delivered me, and he brought me into his church, and he helped me, and I went back to drugs. And then he provided me with a shelter, and he gave me some work, and he gave me a vehicle, a bucky. He helped me, and I went back to drugs again and again and again. And when I first came to Josh 10 years, I was maybe 8, 9, 10, or maybe 11 years ago, and I fornicated as well. I had sex outside of marriage. I remember it was such a short experience, but I felt so terrible afterwards. I let God down again. And I went back to drugs again and again and again. And as I'm thinking that in my quiet time, I'm saying, Lord, but the death that the Israelites got, I deserved that same death. And in the instant, the Lord said, no, but Jesus took your punishment. The Lord Jesus took your punishment. In the Old Testament, they didn't have a Jesus to take the punishment. But for me, the Lord said to me, Declan, you deserve what they got. For all our sin, whether it's gossip or slander, backbiting, bad thoughts, whatever it might be, that sin deserves death. But the Lord Jesus took it for us. The death we deserve, Jesus took. Is this a Merry Christmas or what? But it's good to know that it's nice that we can understand the severity of the sin, how God sees the sin. And sometimes we're very careless about the sin, the things we do. It's nice that when you come closer to God, you sin less. Amen? It's lekker. Sanctification, it makes you holy. But it's a death that we deserved, and the death that they received in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter, excuse me. It's an anointing coming out of my nose. No, I'm joking. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, it says, all we like sheep, it's Isaiah again, he saw a lot. This prophet went through a lot. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way. It says in the Bible that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, of his perfect standard. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every single sin that we have committed, every sin that you can think of, the Lord God has taken that sin and he's put it on his son Jesus. You know, if you go outside and you hit a, it's a bad example, you hit a little dog or a cat, you know how guilty you're going to feel? You're going to feel terrible. Can you imagine all the sin of the world laid on Jesus, how he felt? No wonder he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? The Lord couldn't be near that sin. In John chapter 3:16, Jesus is speaking and he says, for God so loved the world. No, I've got something in brackets. That's with all the sin clinging to us, all our sin, seeing us in our sin. He so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world, in verse 17, to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. He sent his son so that we might be saved. And if we need to be saved, then, I mean, if there's a savior, it means we need to be saved. Every man, woman, and child. Amen? Jesus Christ was born in a manger by the Virgin Mary so that you and I can be saved from the wages of our sins as we come to him for forgiveness. In the story of the birth of Jesus in Matthew, Joseph sees that his wife is pregnant and he didn't sleep with her, so he's a little bit worried. He doesn't know what's going on there. And he actually wants to divorce her. He wants to, you know, but he wants to do it quietly because he's a good man. He's from the lineage of David and he's a good guy. And while he's thinking of these things, the Holy Spirit comes to him and the angel of the Lord actually comes to him and said to him, and says to him, Joseph, what's happening there is of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit put a seed in Mary, and when she gives birth, she's going to give birth to a son. In verse 21. Did I give you that scripture? No. Matthew 1:18-21, please. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And that is our Christmas celebration this morning. That Jesus Christ saves people and has saved us from our sins. And he has given us eternal life. And I was thinking the other day about the elixir, how do you pronounce elixir of life? It's like a potion people have been trying to put together for years. I know some women have got the vitamin E cream, you know, but they've been wanting to get a potion that can lengthen your life, give you long life, maybe make you immortal. But it says that when in the book of Zechariah, when Jesus was pierced on the cross, blood and water came out of him and he died. And that which came out of him, that blood, became for all of us a fountain of life, a fountain of eternal life. It says that whoever believes in him will not perish, but he will have eternal life. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, to all who received him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And those children would receive eternal life. Not only those who believed him, because it says in the Bible that even the demons believe, but they're not going to heaven, because they haven't received him into their heart as Lord and Savior. In Romans 10, 9, 10, it says, if you believe, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because with your heart that you believe and are justified as if nothing happened, God wiping everything clean, and it's with your mouth that you confess and you are saved. Can you say amen? So that's our, so Christmas time is a time of giving and receiving gifts, and I want to remind us this morning that God's gift of his son and the beautiful gift that he has given us of eternal life. You know, when I eat that Christmas lunch today, I want to be thinking of that eternal life. I get to live forever. It's mind-blowing. And I lie in bed sometimes at night and think, jeez, Lord, that's a long, long time. And we're getting a message here. No, I'm joking. I'm saying, that's a long, long time. Jeez. And but, you know, as Christians, sometimes we have this gift of eternal life, and we have this attitude sometimes to be selfish. We keep that gift to ourselves. And sometimes it can be because we're a little bit afraid. We can't just go to people and tell them about the birth and the life and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for eternal life, because we don't really see the sin and how bad it is. So we don't really have that conviction. But I'm really trusting that from today we'll be able to tell people about Jesus Christ. We'll be able to tell them about eternal life. And it's a gift. As this is the time of Christmas, it's a gift that we won't keep to ourselves. But we will share it with the world, with people that we meet at school or at work, wherever we find ourselves. Amen, brother. So as I was sharing these things with Sean Murr, he's a comedian. He always makes me laugh. He's a community leader in the church. So I was sharing this with him, and he said, Declan, you know, I'll just get a picture. Like Isaiah got some pictures. He said, Declan, let's get this picture. It's almost like a man that on Christmas Day, he gets this big lamb, and he keeps it all to himself, you know? Maybe eats it over 2 weeks, but he keeps his lamb all to himself. And when he said that, I was like, sure, this comes by the Spirit, what you're telling me here, my friend. And I was reminded of John the Baptist. And in the book of John, in the book of John. And he says, and this is the time that John the Baptist is baptizing people. It's Jesus' cousin. He's 6 months older than Jesus. And he's been preparing the way for Jesus to come, that people would repent and they would be ready for Jesus. And up until that time, people's sins, they were dealt with in a certain way. So for thousands of years, this was God's way. Like I said, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. That's been God's way from sins, from Adam and Eve. And John the Baptist knew up until that time how sin was dealt with. A lamb was taken and killed, and the blood ran out on the altar of sacrifice, and then your sins would be dealt with. But that was temporary. It was a foreshadow of what was going to happen, that Jesus was going to come. And once and for all, deal with our sin. Take all our sin. Go onto the cross. And there'll be no more need for animals to be slaughtered. I mean, I can imagine there's thousands of animals over thousands of years. Sure. Don't know what the SPCA would say about that. But that was God's way. And John the Baptist is there. And he sees Jesus coming in the distance. In John chapter 1, verse 29. And the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And John the Baptist rejoiced in that. He said it was coming to an end now. Here comes Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Whoever would turn to him, they will not die. They will not go to hell, but they will receive eternal life and the forgiveness of their sins as they put their trust in Jesus Christ. So my friends, I want to say, don't keep the lamb to yourself. You know, as the lamb has been given for you, the sacrificial lamb that is Jesus Christ, don't be like that man that on Christmas Day, he gets the lamb and he keeps it all to himself. Take that lamb and share it. Take the story of Jesus Christ and share it. There's many people out there that are lost, broken. They don't have a clue about Jesus. They don't have a clue about that their sins can be forgiven. A lot of them don't even know that they have sins until you tell them and the Holy Spirit comes and convicts them. And I think sometimes the Holy Spirit is just waiting for you in your own way to go to someone and to tell them about Jesus Christ. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void. It says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the expanse of the deep. And the Lord said, "Let there be light." And there was light. You know, my daughter said to me a while back, when she read that, she said to me, "Dad, you know, when I read that scripture, I realized that is how I was before Jesus came to me. I was formless, I was empty, and darkness was over me." But it also says that, and it's also a picture of what happens when we tell people about Jesus. The Spirit of God is hovering and is waiting, and the moment you speak and open your mouth, the Holy Spirit is going to do something in that person's heart. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." Once again, I think we sometimes don't want to share the gospel and we keep it to ourselves. But I'm really trusting today that after today, the Holy Spirit would have done a good work in us, that we wouldn't be shy or insecure about sharing the gospel. That we would see that the wages of sin really is death and people will be separated from God for all eternity. Jesus mentioned many times in the Bible that there will be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. There's a day of judgment. A day of vengeance of our God, it says in Isaiah 61. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor and to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and sight to those that are blind, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. There's a day of vengeance that the Lord's going to come, and those that did not receive him, there's going to be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth as he throws them out. It says in the Bible, he tells his servants to throw them out into the outer darkness. I think we forget that sometimes. But I think when we have that and we internalize that and that's in our hearts, we can tell people with conviction. Just in the week now, I was speaking to somebody, a man in his 60s, and I saw all the pictures. I was replacing his toilet, and I saw all the pictures on his wall. He was in, like, I think the SAS, and he was in the war with the IRA, and I said to him, "Geez, you know," but I could see that he was also a drinker. He drinks in the day and he's got some issues, man. This poor man. I said to him, "Hey, I can see you were a legend back in the day. Not many people know that until you tell them." But I said, "But I want to tell you about Jesus." And I began to speak to him and he looked at me as if, you know, maybe I'm a little bit better than him. But I said to him, "Man, I just want to tell you because I want you to receive eternal life. I want Jesus to save you. He loves you, man. You know?" I don't know why I said that now. But the wages of sin is death, even for that man. Maybe the seed that was planted, maybe next month I might see him, he might be changed. The Lord is sometimes looking for us to do that. I want to finish just with is there time? I just want to finish with a parable, if you don't mind. A parable is a picture story that Jesus spoke. It's a picture story that helps us to understand something spiritual. You know? I'm glad he said that, otherwise I wouldn't understand. But, so what I want to speak about is, in this parable, it's about calling people, inviting people to Jesus. inviting people into the kingdom of God, inviting people into church. Sometimes you just invite someone to church and then God does the rest. But it's about inviting people in, and how some people say no. And they refuse. And the seriousness at the end. Let's read it together. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, picture stories, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son." In the book of Revelation, it speaks of the Lamb's celebration, where Jesus is going to be with all his children, all his sons and daughters, every single one of us. And there's going to be a feast, and we are going to be at that feast. A king who gave a wedding feast for his son, Jesus, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. They're speaking about Jesus' own people. They didn't want to come. They didn't receive him, and they didn't believe in his name, a lot of them. His disciples and several others did, but a lot of them didn't. But they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, "Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast." But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business. While the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. And that speaks of all the prophets over the years that the Lord sent to his people to tell them to repent and to turn to him for the forgiveness of their sins. And they killed those prophets. Eventually, they killed the son. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Praise God. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find." That's where I was, my friend, on the main road. Sure, and I was in a drug house. And those servants, and now talks about you and I. Those servants are you and I. Somebody told me about Jesus, and we are going to tell someone about Jesus. We are going to tell someone about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and not keep that Lamb to ourselves. Can you say amen? And those servants, that's you and I, friends, went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. I was the bad one. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. Now, I want to say, before we carry on, in those ceremonies, when you came to the wedding, you were given a garment. So they could check, hey, you've got a nice white jacket, you're a part. You're a part of this feast. And in the Bible, it speaks of, in Revelation, also the garment of, several places in the Bible, the garment of righteousness. That is those who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who by faith believe in him, and who walk with him, and are obedient with him, to him. They have a garment of righteousness. As you are a child of God in this place today, and you walk by the Holy Spirit, and you're obedient to the Word of God, you have that garment of righteousness. God looks at you and says, "You have received my Son for the forgiveness of your sins." You have the garment of righteousness. So it goes on to say, "But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless." People, when they face Jesus one day, and when they see him face to face, it's not going to be necessary for them to talk or to try and give an excuse. They're going to know in that moment that they've got nothing to say. Eternity is written in their hearts. It says in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, eternity is written in their hearts. They know he's real. They know Jesus Christ is real. They know God. They know eternity is real. That man or that woman will be speechless because they refused the sacrifice. They refused the birth, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and walking in relationship with him. And it goes on to say, "Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" That is the wages of a people's sin. That if the Lord has called you to repent and called you to turn to him and you refuse that, Then, my friend, in the end, it says that there's going to be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. You won't be gently escorted out. You'll be thrown out into the outer darkness. And God doesn't want that for anyone. That is the penalty. But Jesus is the way out. And so that is our celebration this morning, that Jesus was the way out for us. And not only did he deliver us from being thrown out into the outer darkness, where there's a weeping and a gnashing of teeth, but he also gave us eternal life, that we would live with him forever. Amen? So I just want to say that as you go into Christmas and the new year and to 2021, take the Lamb of God with you, the story of Jesus Christ, and share it. You don't have to be a theologian or know 110 verses. You just tell the simple story. It says in the Bible that God was pleased that people will be saved through the preaching of the gospel being preached foolishly in our own way. Amen? Okay, I'd like to pray for us. Before I hand over to Lucas, I'd like to pray for us, guys. And really, why don't we bow our heads and close our eyes? And first of all, Father, Lord God, want to thank you for your Son Jesus, Lord, that you sent over 2,000 years ago, Lord, to be born by the Virgin Mary and to live on this earth, Lord, and to get up onto the cross of Calvary and to be whipped with a whip that was full of bone and metal and ripped your flesh out, and a crown of thorns was put on your head, and a reed they used to beat you on your head. And they mocked you, God. And you scorned the shame of that cross, God, for the joy set before you, that you can be in relationship with your children, Lord. We want to thank you this morning for your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to make that sacrifice for us. And thank you, Lord, for the gift of eternal life that we get to live forever and ever. Lord, as we go into this Christmas time, God, and New Year, may that resound in us. May that echo in us, Lord. And may that come from our lips. May we share that, Lord. May we share the story of the Lamb with those that really need the good, proper gift, Father. And then I want to pray for those. Maybe you've believed in Jesus. Like it says in John chapter 1, verse 12, to all those who believed and received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Maybe you're sitting in this place now and you're not sure if you're a child of God or not. But you're saying today, I want to be a child of God. I don't only want to believe in Jesus, but I want to receive him into my heart for the forgiveness of my sins, that my sins will be forgiven, that I'll be washed clean, and that I'll have a garment of righteousness, so that when the king comes into the feast, he sees you with a garment of righteousness. With every head bowed and eye closed, if that's you this morning, and you're saying, I want Jesus to come into my heart, to be my Lord and my Savior from here on out, will you just put your hand up quickly? You're saying, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, and you haven't made that commitment before, ever. I just want to give you another opportunity. You can just put your hand up, just quickly. Okay, cool. Thank you. And then I want to pray for us that we would have boldness to share the Lamb of God with those who don't yet have Jesus Christ in their lives for the forgiveness of their sins. And I want to ask you, if that's you this morning and you're saying, you know what, I want the boldness to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Before Jesus went up to be with the Father, he said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. If that's you this morning and you're saying, you know what, I need that boldness, I want to ask God to come and pour out more of his Spirit on me so that I would have that in me and I would share the gospel. If that's you, will you just raise your hand quickly? Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. My hand's also up. I also want more boldness. You're saying, I want to share the gospel. I don't want people going to where there's a weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I'm going to pray for us. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, for those, Lord, that just have put their hand up now and that are saying, Lord, they want to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord God, that you would empower them, that your Holy Spirit would come upon them, that you would anoint them, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. That you would touch them today, Lord, that you would pour oil upon their heads, Lord, and would run down upon their feet, and that they will be empowered, God, to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Wherever they go, Lord, to the hurting, to the lost, to the blind, to the deaf, to the mute, to the cripple, to those that are spiritual lepers, God, that they would share the Lamb of God in boldness and with power. Ask us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father, so for the rest of the day, Father, I pray for righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, that you would cause your face to shine, God, on every single person here today. Lord God, that they, when they go and they have their feast today, that they would talk of you, Lord, they would think of you, that you would fill them with joy, God, in the name of Jesus. I come against any spirit of condemnation, God. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I pray, Lord, just for the healthy conviction that would resonate in everybody's heart and would move people, Lord, to a place of joy, a place of willingness, Lord, a place of tenacity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord. Hallelujah. And that your people will be filled with joy today, God. Wherever they go, Lord, that they would shine, that your face would shine on them, Lord, that the anointing would be upon them, God, and that they would be a light to the Greek, the Jew, the Gentile, and to everyone they come across, God. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for this day, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, amen. Give the Lord some praise. Give the Lord some praise.